delight it is to be with you this morning to officially welcome your pastor who's journeyed with you in a new role as the senior pastor of the Yucaipa Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm going to ask Pastor Elijah Grekoff to join me right up here, and if your wife is here, to have her join us as well. Yes, there she is, Lydia. I just, as Lydia's coming forward, want to say, first of all, thank you to Pastor Dale Retzer on behalf of the conference for journeying with you during this interim time. Thank you, Daryl and his wife. And Mario Perez, the assistant to the president, for leading out in the transition search process, and your leaders who really prayerfully went through a process and discerned that Pastor Grekoff was the pastor that you wanted to lead you into your future. And I think there were many reasons for that. Pastor Elijah has served you faithfully. He's been very involved in your church, your school, your community. He's been a pastor that has been present with you. He and his family have loved you deeply and dearly and been there for you in every life event. So, Pastor, thank you for your faithful ministry.
Thank you.
Transitions are always a time for a church and pastor together to have a new beginning and building on the wonderful ministry that's happened in the past, to revision your future together. And we look forward, Pastor, to how you and this church will revision that future together and will continue to do excellent ministry here in the Yucaipa community and in the world at large as you lead out. So thank you for accepting that responsibility. We look forward to working side by side, and thank you, church, for your faithfulness, and we look forward to the amazing things that God will do here in the Yucaipa Seventh-day Adventist Church. And just stay put right here.
I received a letter from Pastor Heinz Streitem that I would like to share with you. You know, Pastor Hein couldn't talk without gesturing. I won't be doing the gesturing this morning, but I will share this with you. I love that guy. And he says this, God's abundant blessing on you as you are installed as the senior pastor of the Yucaipa Seventh-day Adventist Church. He says, dear Pastor Elijah, it took Moses 40 years caring for sheep in the desert before he became the leader of Israel. And then his troubles really started. Tomorrow morning, everything on the outside will still be the same. The same faces, the same office, the same routine. The sign on your door and in the churchyard, however, will read, Elijah Grekoff, senior pastor. And then he says, aren't you glad I left? Like with Moses, God has now placed the responsibility on your shoulders to lead his people on to the promised land. You have already walked with this flock for many years, and like a good shepherd, you know your sheep and they know your voice. May the rich and most abundant blessings from God be poured out on you as you rise to the challenge of the task. It was my personal privilege to be a part of your journey here in Yucaipa. As your friends and colleagues in ministry, Elise and I want to wish you, Lydia, and your three daughters, together with your lovely Yucaipa Church family, just the very, very best on this new chapter in your lives and in the history of your church. May heaven smile down on Yucaipa today. With warm and sincere Christian love, your brother in Christ, Pastor Heidem.
Thank you. Thank you.
At this time, we'll have the installation reading. It'll be on the screen. And Christine will lead the congregation. Friends, we have gathered today to welcome your pastor, Elijah Grekov, his wife Lydia, and their family into your ministry and fellowship.
We welcome Pastor Grekov as God's servant and shepherd for this time and in this place.
Who are you that welcome him today?
We who are part of the body of Christ and are called God's chosen people, we worship in this place.
As God's people, you are also called to ministry.
Indeed, we are. For we gather together in common worship. Our church doors are open to all who seek spiritual nurture. We are here to sustain one another when burdened, to extend the hand of charity, and to loose the bonds of bigotry, malice, hatred, and ill will. We are here to share the good news of God's love in deed and in word, and to seek knowledge that each generation may grow in wisdom.
The coming of Pastor Grekov to the pastor ministry of this congregation as senior pastor marks a new step in the life of this body. As members of the Yucaipa Seventh-day Adventist Church, what work do you request from your pastor? And Pastor Grekov, do you accept this task?
We ask that you guide us in our worship and instruct us in our learning.
By the grace of God, I will.
We ask that you sustain us in our suffering and share with us in our joys.
Through God's unfailing love, I will.
We ask that you challenge us in our deliberations and abide with us in our frailties.
In God's power, I will.
You have heard the pledges of the one you have requested to be your pastor. I now ask you, will you receive him? And will you respect and support him as one that is duly called by God?
We pledge to Pastor Grekov our support for his ministry among us. We will dedicate our talents and gifts in cooperative service so that our congregation will be complete and not lacking in any good thing, and live as Christ's healing agents in this church and community.
I have heard your pledges as God's people in this place. Let us pray, asking the Spirit of God to assist us in filling our calling to his service.
Shall the pastors...
It's on.
Shall the pastors gather around? We'll have the prayer of dedication.
On behalf of our conference, we have a small gift here, and we want the very best for you.
Thank you.
God will continue blessing you.
Thank you, Mario.
And on behalf of the church, we have a gift that is going to be given to him after the fellowship luncheon, and you can be a part of this. I want to thank Tricia Page for putting together this little flip memento that has on the cover, it has the text, Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep, a challenge to you, and Elijah and Lydia Grekov. But there are lots of blank pages that we want you to fill out, and there will be cardstock down at the fellowship luncheon afterwards. And we want you to write an encouraging message, a favorite quotation, scripture quotation or poem or something else that will be of encouragement to them. And Tricia will be there to help you put it together. And we'll put together this little memento that they can remember this occasion by and have the encouragement. And when things get tough and difficult, you can go through and read the encouragement that your members, our members, have given to you. And so be sure that you Do that today, and if you don't get it done today, I believe this will be out in the lobby on the table for a week or two so that you can do it in the future. So thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
And thank you in advance for all your writings.
In giving us the gift of Pastor Elijah, his family, his dedication, his talent, and we're very grateful for that. And at this time, the season of the year, we want to think about the greatest gift of all time, the gift of Jesus.
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to went by. We learned more about gifts, the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hid crying in the rain because of love, because of love. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to
you. Thank you very much to all of you. You really made it special. Even the bathroom, men's bathroom out there is decorated. Thank you, Karen. And believe me, I tried to keep it simple. But ladies wouldn't listen to me. They said that I'm not installed yet, so I can't boss them around. Well, guess what? Monday is coming. Get ready for change. But I really appreciate your vote of confidence. Thank you. I accept all your congratulations and even condolences. I take them seriously too. Mario told me that it was an overwhelming vote, and I appreciate that. But just in case, if some of you are still undecided, I want to ask you, give me an opportunity to win your hearts. As I was thinking how I should respond to this, the story from the 1 Kings 12 was popping up in my mind. You probably remember, it's the story about King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when he inherited the kingdom after Solomon's death. And he consulted the elders who told him to ease the burden of people. But he rejected that advice and turned to young people's advice who told him to increase the burden of his people, which ended up splitting the kingdom into two, Israel and Judah. His messenger got stoned, and he himself barely escaped. As you can figure out, according to this story, following counsel of young people can be dangerous. If it won't stone you, it certainly can get you in trouble. I consider myself being at a privileged age. I'm getting closer to seniors, which helps me to better understand them. And I'm not too far away from young people that I can relate to them. I want to assure the older generation of this church, we will continue to rely on your wisdom, your experience, and your faithful support. My appeal to you, please make an effort to listen to the plans and ideas of the new generations. The youth is our serious concern, but at the same time, they're our greatest opportunity. If we'll discourage them from taking over the church will lose its vibrant state. We need to recognize that the upcoming generation doesn't think like those of us who were born in the 60s, 50s, or even earlier. Unfortunately, postmodern often means post-denominational. The loyalty to the church just for the sake of the name doesn't mean much. Just because they were born Adventists or because we tell them that the Adventist has the truth does not keep them in church. To sustain their loyalty, we need to demonstrate our good intentions and develop the strategies that will engage their minds and employ their support. Inspired by God and equipped with your wisdom and experience, the young generation, following their forefathers, has the energy and ambition to get things done and make God-given dreams come true. To reach the new generation, we'll need to learn to communicate in the language of their days, just like Jesus used the language and idioms of his. I need to say this to the younger generation, though. We got to come up with a higher level of commitment. We need to raise our standards and to prove that we are reliable and we can be trusted. We need to diversify our approach to ministry. It is unreasonable to think that there is only one way of doing something and everybody is supposed to do it that one way. Quoting Ellen White, not all minds are to be reached by the same methods. What may be appealing or attractive to a certain mindset may not appeal to other types of personalities. And we have the evidence of that in this church. The cross-connection provides an alternative worship experience. Health programs downstairs fascinate people with a specific area of interest. And helping hands minister to people's minds virtually through their stomachs. God created things in abundant variety. And we all respond differently to things around us. It would be very appropriate for us to build more ministries that would correspond with our traditions, yet using different methods to be able to reach out to people that differ from us. In addition to our traditional worship service, have many more ministries to reach out to all the people. I don't need to say too much to convince you of the importance of technology nowadays. Technology has tremendous power for both good and evil. I often frustrated with my office computer when it doesn't do what I want it to do, or when I don't have right programs or tools to accomplish what I need. I hope you don't struggle with that. It frustrates all of us here when something doesn't work. And I hope that you will continue to support our efforts to enhance the use of technology in our ministry in this church. It possesses immense potential for spreading the gospel to the levels that we can only imagine. I don't know where some people get the idea that pastors are the only ones that should do all the preaching, giving Bible studies, be church's primary soul-winning winners, and make and carry out all business decisions of the church. We are the priesthood of all believers, and I invite you to share your ideas, your talents, your skills, equipping one another for the work before us. A healthy congregation is not a group of independent individuals, but a unit of believers sharing the same purpose of reaching out to the community around us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take His proper place in our lives and in our ministry. You see, we're so focused on goals, strategies, human efforts, that we forget about the essential power behind all of this. I believe that being sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and submitting ourselves to His guidance will bring greater accomplishments and other blessings as well. We will experience true success when deliberate thought, planning, and actions are done under the powerful leadership of the Holy Spirit. Being an Adventist without being genuine Christians is meaningful. I should say meaningless. We are Christians in the first place. And having a saving relationship with Jesus is at the very heart of our faith. And I don't want to offend my fellow other Christians. But we as Adventists are not just another denomination on the block. And I'm not saying this in an arrogant spirit, but with humble acknowledgement and recognition of our peculiar prophetic calling to prepare this world with the urgent message of His imminent second coming. And I believe that the apocalyptic significance of the events of our days cannot be more convincing to where we are at in the line of the human history. But before we try to change the world, we need to bring change into our parents' personal lives, our family and church relations. There should be no contentions among God's people. Spending time and efforts hurting each other does not leave us with much to do the real work. We are in construction business, if you will. We are here to build the kingdom of God, and it might require some preparation, some groundwork. Cleaning all negative spirit, negative attitude, and negative living. I recognize that there are injustices that need to be rectified and some complex situations that can never be made straight. But yet, even in the most difficult situations, we need to remember to conduct ourselves as true brothers and sisters, being able to address and discuss issues without losing sight of the real meaning of being a church. During those moments, Paul recommends in Philippians 4:8 to focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. Our human nature longs for sensitivity and understanding. It was Plato who said, always be kind, for everyone is fighting a hard battle. More so, Paul in Ephesians 4:32 encourages us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I pray that, driven by God's love for our fellow human beings, we'll be able to create and maintain such an environment that every person who comes in through those doors would not only feel social comfort, but also the real presence of God among His people. And every one of us going out would carry with us the warmth of the Holy Spirit to every corner of this community. Drawing others to Christ requires ourselves to be in the position near to Him. With Paul to Ephesians 3:16 through 19, I pray that out of His, God's glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Many of you have great expectations that you already expressed to me. I know you wanted to hear my plans or strategies, how I'm going to revive this church and double the membership in the next 4 or 5 years. That's what you call no pressure, right? Using Paul's words again from Ephesians 6, 19-20, I want to ask you to pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Sorry to disappoint you if I say that I have no magic plan, no prophetic vision, but I can promise you this. I will keep my eyes on Jesus, and I will follow his command, and I will keep my ears tuned to your ideas, your suggestions, your desires. And I will be sensitive to the needs of this congregation and to this community. And I'll do my best to maximize the opportunity for making ourselves available for God to use us as powerful tools in his service for the salvation of many. Therefore, as our scripture reading said, let us consider how we may encourage one another towards love and good deeds. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. And on behalf of our pastoral staff, I would like to invite you to join the ministry team here. And if you are willing to serve God and people through the ministry of this church, I invite you to express that by standing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May the power of the Holy Spirit be upon all of us as we dedicate ourselves to his service.
Sing our response.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we dedicate ourselves to your service, we ask that you would cleanse us from within. Take all negative out of our hearts and minds and fill it with your Holy Spirit that it will inspire us for your work in this community. May we all be a blessing to the people around us and bring praise to your name as we prepare ourselves for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.